Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, man. I think we finally got a spring-like weather going on here. And that's always good when it's sports in the air.
Yes, sir.
So we got a few things on the docket. Not much. We got some other important information, but we always like to start out with a little bit of sports talk. And right now, the buzz in the sports world is Tim Tebow getting a job at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
After being out of the NFL for 9 straight seasons.
That's called favor, or is that called the good old boy system?
He did win the Heisman, though, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of Heisman winners with busts.
Right. But then you got to think about the team he had. Cam Newton was on that team. Hernandez was on that team. Several other guys that were like amazing athletes to play with him as Florida Gators that were some beasts. So he was giving the ball to some people that could do it by themselves, really.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
They had Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
And they ran an option offense, didn't they?
Yep.
So all he had to do was hand it to somebody.
That's all he did, man.
He just played a running back.
Dink and dunk. Wasn't no deep passing. Just enough to spread the defense so they could keep running the football. So, yeah, and that's his history, right? I mean, Urban Meyer knows this guy very well.
That's right.
You know, and I look at it as a publicity stunt. You know, Jacksonville got number one pick, right?
Yes, sir.
But they also need to sell tickets.
Yes, why not bring a Heisman Trophy guy back?
Christian. Hometown
Christian
boy.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah. Very well respected. You know, maybe just not have the talent level of an NFL player. But, you know, you can't discount the fact that the guy never had any kind of controversy in his college or pro career. Tried baseball.
Yes.
That didn't work. So, you know, there are people in Florida that is going to come up to the ticket window and buy season tickets because they heard Tim Tebow going to be on the team.
And he's signing up for tight end, right?
Tight end, yep.
Okay. So then now on the other side, you got somebody that's been practicing, training, waiting for his opportunity, and that's Kaepernick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Cap, I think he don't even want to be bothered anymore, man, I think. You know, but what you're saying is that he never got showed any kind of favoritism.
And like you said, this is a financial show, so it's a financial reason that Tebow's being picked. But
absolutely.
Also a culture aspect.
Yeah.
Because if you pick, and this is what I always think of, you pick Kaepernick, you got the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
You pick Tebow, you got this Christianity movement.
Yep.
So you can generalize the Christianity, just like they colonize.
Yeah.
You could generalize it, make it a broader perspective. But if you bring in somebody that's
controversial,
that started the Black Lives Matter movement, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there were teams that basically said, you know, no, we don't have nothing to do with it.
Because that means you support it. So then now when you talk about Republican dollars going towards the Black Lives Matter movement by recruiting this player.
Okay.
That's going to affect the industry that keep the machine running, where it's 90% people that's brown and it's
100% of those that control the NFL.
That
all right?
Like something else.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so that's rough when you talk about the financial aspects of this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we could bring Tebow in, and we don't have to whitewash him. He's already there.
Yep, yep.
That's what it really is.
That's it. Yeah, no baggage. Just for the simple fact that he, you know, been out of football is what's being questioned. You know, and Meyer had made other hires in the past that got scrutinized to the point where he had to backtrack when he hired a strength coach.
Yes.
That had gotten fired for, you know, racial remarks. So this one here is more of a clean hire, if you will.
Oh, yes, it is. It's definitely clean. Clean character, clean person outside of football.
Yeah.
I give him all the love. And then do you scrutinize Tebow for getting an opportunity, or do you scrutinize the organization?
The organization.
Okay.
And which tells me they basically turned it over to him, right? Urban Meyer. Here,
yes, sir.
You run it. You know, GMs normally do that. Head coaches coach. GM take care of, you know, getting players in front of coaches. So, evidently, you know, when he took the job in Jacksonville, the ownership basically said, you know, we do have senior management, but ultimately you get to make the decision as to who you want on your football team.
And that's right. So when you bring in a guy that knows your offense, has a history in Florida being good, winning some championship bowl games, Heisman Trophy, and you're talking about a team that been barely existing in Jacksonville Jaguars. Last quarterback they had is actually the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the last time they had somebody else good.
Okay. Yeah, well, I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. But that was the brother. That was the last time they had a good quarterback. And that's what last time it was relevant. Even though they didn't make it that far, he was the last decent QB that they had.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a brother. So he's the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach for the Raiders.
Okay.
Right now.
That's where he at with the Raiders?
Okay. With Tampa Bay right now.
Oh, at Tampa.
Yeah. So
okay.
Whoever the quarterback coach is, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was at Jacksonville for those years, and he did some pretty good things.
Oh, okay then.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it tells us a lot about Tampa Bay, the organization.
Oh, yeah, they're doing it. They got a whole coaching staff that's brothers and sisters. And
yeah, and they brought everybody back.
They brought everybody back, and they paid them. So
yeah, everybody got paid in Tampa Bay, baby.
The coach like, look, I ain't trying to do this all by myself. Bring these good old people on with me so I can really have a real coaching staff. I ain't got to do all the work.
Yeah, yeah, because I think, you know, this was Bruce's last stop. Arians, the head coach. And he was at Phoenix. He was at Phoenix Cardinals.
And he was the oldest coach in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's a senior guy. So no nonsense. He's from the old school.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, he get it. He knows it all. You know, he understand. I mean, they did the same thing with Gronk, right?
Yes, they did.
Gronk retired. Did. Now they got AB, right, who basically was semi-retired out of football. And, you know, so far, so good.
So far, so good. So then that narrative can be changed if you got the right kind of mindset to make sure the agency works and how it builds. But
yep.
Like you said, that's at that sports level. But then let's switch it. I mean, we don't talk about politics a lot, but we got Chaney, the daughter of her idol, Dick Chaney, and they ousted her. GOP ousted her.
Got rid of her at the behest of the 45th president.
At Donald Trump. So, man, like, he got to have a lot of power.
Yeah, man. He got a lot of power. More power than he deserves. Okay? And the constituency that is the Republican Party has basically sold the party out in order to be in the graces of Donald Trump.
But I'm going to look at it like this. When I was a teenager, Donald Trump was cool, Tony. I'm gonna give it to you the real. Because I was in the hip hop. Every rapper in the picture with Trump.
Right.
Russell Simmons in the picture with Trump. Wu-Tang Clan. All the best rappers in New York. He from Queens. He saying this. He claiming that. Puff Daddy. All these guys with Trump. Looked like he was, before his slumlord stuff, like he was down with the Democratic Party because he gave money to Jesse Jackson and him. And he was always vested some way. And then he's like, I'm going to run for president. Which party I'm going to choose? Like, he's the type of person that can pick, but he's so devious that if you if you try to oust him, he got this strange angle and he got followers.
Sort of.
He's like a living Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. He tried to emulate the mob. By that, I mean the mafia mentality. Right.
He will bully an organization.
Well, we know what happens in the mafia when you cross somebody. Okay? It's like a death sentence. And basically, you know, this is what happened to her on a political basis. It was they term it as political suicide by not, you know, siding with the party when it came to the impeachment.
But then before we got on, you talked about having moral character and swearing by oath on the Bible.
Constitutional oath, man, is to uphold the Constitution, right? And he has done things that are counter to that, along with the Mitt Romney guy. You know, these people do have morals and values, and I think they are truly, you know, loyal to the party.
Yes, sir.
Not to Donald Trump, okay? But there's so many of them that have basically sold out. I mean, Ted Cruz. I mean, he talked about Ted Cruz during the election, talked about him, talked about his wife, and now Ted Cruz turned around and suck up to the guy. It's like, man, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
But he had some kind of a cult control over these people, man.
The compromise is real.
Yeah.
For who you are as a person.
But I respect those Republicans that stood up and said, this is not right, okay? This is not right. And again, you know, I don't have a problem with Republicans.
Yep. But then when you look at it, her decision that was made was he claimed that he was cheated.
Yeah.
That voting was done wrong, that it was these uncounted ballots.
Yep, yep.
Then the insurgent thing he did.
Yeah, which he claimed he had nothing to do with, but that's not true.
So somebody voting, and you're like, okay, you stand against everything that this country is
predicated on.
I can't ride with you. It look like if I side with you, I got to live with myself.
Yeah, there you go. That's it right there. You got to look your grandchildren in the face, because one day your grandchildren are going to grow up and they're going to learn about the history of this country. And they're going to look at that situation and they're going to think differently about the grandfathers and the grandmothers that supported these outlandish type of ideas as to what happened during this election and how he conducted himself during and after. Okay? And, you know, to me, man, that to sit down and have grandchildren and to talk to them about history of America, and you come, you know, you're a villain. You become a villain.
You're like a real-life Joker.
Yeah. So I think that's what kind of moved these other Republicans, the guy in Grand Rapids, the Meyer guy.
Yes, right. All right?
Did he stood right up against it, okay? And I got respect for those people. I really do.
Yeah, this is rough. Then, you know, and it seems like Putin is right back up in the news again.
Yeah, because they
got somebody stealing our gas, for real.
Well, they think that the cyber bandits, pirates, are basically operating out of Russia. Okay. The cyber attacks is nothing new. They've attacked just about every institution in this country when it comes to stealing information.
Target, Experian.
Okay. All these folks have paid huge sums of monies because they, you know, compromise people's personal information.
That's a lawsuit that they get a hold of it and put it in the dark web. That company that retained it to get in trouble, don't they?
Well, you know, on the dark web, those kinds of situations, what happens is they sell your information, you know, like a lot to the Nigerians or what have you. They sell that information. This particular case is basically, it's considered ransomware.
Okay, that's the difference.
Where they actually take control of the process of delivering the oil. This pipeline runs from Texas all the way up to New Jersey, 5,000 miles, right? Colonial Pipeline. And basically everything is controlled from a computer system. So they hack into the computer system and basically just take it over. They can be sitting in a control room trying to open and close valves or what have you. It's not going to happen because these guys have overrode the system that you have in place, and now they have total control over the supply of this oil. Now, they contact you and said, okay, give us $20 million, and we will give you control back of your process. If you don't give it to us, we have other information about your company that we extracted out of your data that we're going to tell, we're going to give it to the news media or to, you know, some federal agency about potential wrongdoings that your company may have had. So they don't want this kind of exposure and a lot of them pay the ransom.
Mm. Man, that's rough. So then I'm looking on the Eastern Seaboard, right? And I'm seeing people filling up 50-gallon containers with gas.
Hoarding gas, yeah.
Or people going to the gas station and they like, it's long lines.
It's long lines, yeah. Two-thirds of the gas stations in Florida are shut down. Two-thirds.
So let me ask you this next question. What does that do to our economy and our stock market?
Okay, well, the last couple of days, the economy, the stock market has taken a couple hits, okay? And there's a number of factors that come into play with the stock market. One is the inflation rate. If you shopped at the Home Depot, the Lowe's, or Menards, and you look at the price of lumber, lumber went up over 250%. So builders, people that's doing home projects, those prices basically take them out of the market.
They're like doctor prices now. Like,
yeah, so that's inflation.
Surgery.
Yeah, that's inflation.
Somebody want to build a deck, it's like getting you a heart surgery.
Yes, you could probably get a heart transplant cheaper.
Wow. Okay.
So, and then now you got to think about it. If these cyber attacks can actually do something like that to a company like Colonial, can they do that to the stock market? Can they do that to the military? Can they do that to manufacturing facilities? Alcoa that build jet engines. We can go in there and shut that down. We can't build jet engines. You got over on the hill, L3 Harris.
L3, yes.
They build tanks or what have you. You know, they can actually take over these processes and shut them down, which would cripple the economy. If they made a mass attack, stock market, banking, the transportation grid, electrical grid, all these kinds of components are at risk. And I think they've just shown the tip of the iceberg as the potential that they have to do it. And the federal government has really got to step up cybersecurity.
Yes, they do.
Because it could be devastating to this economy.
So that's I know you've got a lot of money going towards infrastructure. That's part of it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a part of it.
Because you got to make sure our cyber walls are stronger. Because as we upgrading our infrastructure, you're upgrading how technology is used too.
Yeah, yeah. It's no different than when you look on Facebook and people tell you they've been hacked. Right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, strange messages.
It's the same thing, man. Somebody has basically, somebody asked for you to be their friend, and when you got there, they was able to get into your profile and gather your information, grab your passwords, and send out spam messages or what have you. And basically, you've been hacked. And this is the same thing on a much larger scale.
Wow, this is...
So
welcome to the new world.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, and think about now where through the coronavirus, the number of people that are online from schools to universities to businesses, I think, I don't have the number.
It's a surge. A surge of internet usage.
Yeah. It probably went up 100%, doubled.
So now you got to put all these extra towers out there, probably extra satellites.
Yeah.
All these other things.
So where's the security at, though? Okay, we're putting up all these types of these towers to make it accessible. But what is the security? Can you encrypt your computer so people cannot, get through your firewalls and grab your personal information?
Man. Now this is like.
So the next couple of weeks will be very interesting.
Because, already with the pandemic bills that we passed, inflation is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Inflation is going to be part of it because inflation is based on supply and demand. It's basically what it is. The supply lines were so depleted because of COVID, because everything shut down. And then, trucking, railways, airplanes that move goods in this country, they weren't doing it. All right. Then the country started to open up. You didn't have all the pieces in place to provide the requirements to get these goods and services back to people. Okay, so that is part of inflation, supply and demand. So that's why the prices are going up for everything. Grocery stores, your utilities, you're going to see, I don't say major spikes, but you're definitely going to see some increase in pricing as you go through your daily, shopping experience.
Man, before we get into my topics today, this article I had, it was talking about the 11 ways to build wealth, and stocks was one. But I wanted to go over this this job opportunity that I had that's coming out, because I could tell the infrastructure jobs are starting to drop, starting to happen. So I got this email from Advanced Employment Services, and it says, "We hope you find this email in your best interest. Advanced Employment is looking to add about 200 flaggers statewide to their flagging team. Flaggers are construction workers that stand on the side of the road and help direct traffic through the construction zones. Advanced Employment provides flaggers with all the equipment and training. These positions are entry level and start out at $16.50 an hour. During the peak of the season, it is not uncommon for paychecks to be upwards of $1,000 a week. To be qualified for these positions, you must have a valid driver's license, car insurance in your name, ability to travel 50 miles, right? Now, if you got to travel more than 50, Tony, they'll compensate you.
Okay.
So sun up to sundown availability. So okay. You're working from 8 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's 12 hours.
12 hours. But it's only seasonal now. Remember, we don't do construction in wintertime in Michigan.
And then this is what it said. And minimal criminal background. Minimal.
Yeah.
So they're gonna let some things slide now, audience. Advanced Employment offers major medical insurance as well as vision and dental.
Good bennies.
Talking about good bennies. We also have a referral bonus of $125 if you refer an associate who works 40 hours, but you must be an employee too. If interested, call your nearest office. Once again, we hire statewide in the Lower Peninsula. So I'm going to give you the areas that we are close to. Battle Creek, 269-968-1100. Grand Rapids, 616-285-5700. Kalamazoo, 269-353-1100. Jackson, Michigan, 517-877-3333. Lansing, Michigan, 517-853-7911. So you talking about $1,000 a week, Tony.
Yeah.
Sun up, sun down. And all I got to do is wave a flag in a cautious way. $4,000 a week for probably 16 weeks. That's 16 grand over 16 weeks.
That's a good paycheck, man.
And then for some of us, I'm not unemployed about the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So 16 with all those extra hours, because you're going to get extra hours. We're not talking about 8 hours. We're talking about 10-hour days.
Yeah, maybe 7 days a week.
Because that's construction time. You're right.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And this is the audience, listen. This one of these, they say entry level. This is a job to test you out to get you to the next level. When I know about the construction trades, you get in at a job like this, next thing is apprentice where they pay you to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they pay you to go to school, you learn something else and you work alongside somebody.
Yep, operate heavy machinery. You know, crane operators, you know, they make upwards to $100 an hour. So those guys operating them cranes out here, man.
Yep. So that we talking about infrastructure jobs. If you pay attention, Michigan, the highway is going to be shut down a lot because we got the infrastructure money.
Yeah.
CARES money, ESSERIC, all that is flowing in. So they got to do things to rebuild. I see we're doing a lot of stuff in Muskegon, rebuilding parks.
Man, you downtown. Can't drive through the city. Every road in the city tore up, man.
The beach. Yeah, every road in the city is tore. But it's for a purpose. You gotta replace the plumbing in the streets.
Yeah, and the streets were crumbling. And, you know, the piping beneath the street was crumbling.
Yep.
So the only way to fix it is you got to go in there and change it out.
This is all about jobs, though, too.
It is about jobs. Because, you know, you can't get computers to go out and lay these pipes in the ground.
That's right.
Okay, that is definitely manual human labor. Okay, you don't have a computer to run out there and run that tar truck, that paving truck. You know, all those kinds of things are jobs that are going to be here as long as we are.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I know I got these 11 ways to build wealth, and one of the ways says stick with stocks. So in the market right now, what's going on, and I know you're an investor. You invest for other people, diverse portfolios or daily stocks. So what's your advice right now when it comes to investing with this, I wouldn't say volatility, but like this stuff that's going on?
It's volatility in the market, and, you know, and it's going to probably be around for most of the summer as we gain traction after the COVID. Okay, right now we're set to the worst month that we've had for stock performance this year was January.
Okay,
normally that's it until maybe spring or fall. But what happens in the market is always cyclical. There's always going to be ups and downs in the market. And the key to it is to make sure that you have a balanced portfolio to survive that. Because everybody likes it when the market is going up, okay? And everybody gets jittery when the market goes down. For those that don't understand the dynamics of stock fluctuation. But the key is to stay the course. You may look at changing some of your investment strategy, but for the most part, in the long term, you're gonna make more money in the stock market if you stay. There's a lot of people that have cash, right? Sitting on the sideline.
That's right.
They're looking at this and they're saying, okay, we're going to go, you know, they're looking for the percentages. Right now, I would say at this point, we're probably like a 5% correction in the market based on the last 3 days. And there are people that are looking at this saying, this is an opportunity to get into the market. All right. I took some money out during the COVID and it's been sitting there. And now this is the opportunity to get back in. So you can't be afraid of the ups and downs because it's a long-term proposition.
So what about saving for retirement? So I know the stocks is just like, that's a daily thing, but we're talking about like a long-term,
okay,
with a diversified portfolio.
Saving for. So what happens is you can be aggressive in your stock portfolio during your younger years, right?
Yes.
And then you create a good amount of wealth. So as you move towards that retirement phase, you start to take that money out of your stocks and put it into fixed instruments. It's called preservation of capital. Mm. I'm still willing to gamble with the market with 15% or 20% of what I have.
Even though where it's at right now.
Yeah, even through the gyrations of the market. But 80% of my money is sitting over here in a fixed account that's going to pay me 2 to 3%. I'm okay with that because it's preservation of capital. I've made a considerable amount of money over the years, and I just want to make sure I maintain it. But I also still understand that, you know, there's going to be growth opportunities in the stock market. I don't want to put 100% into it, but I do want to have, you know, some part of my investment portfolio in there. So I'm going to go 20%, 10%, and still stay aggressive. Because it's going to come back. Trust me.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's what the recommendations I've been seeing and getting. And then something I've noticed is when it comes to people trying to take control of their debt, it's kind of been like they kind of slacked off. Like, oh, I'm going to wait on that. But I think it's a perfect time to make sure that you pay bills down and make sure your credit is good. Because if inflation hit, guess what's going to raise? Interest rates.
Interest rates are going to go up. There's no doubt.
If your credit bad, you hit.
That is the next, you know, caveat to inflation is to raise interest rates. So you're absolutely right. Continue to pay down your debt at a lower interest rate as it stands now. And I was talking to an individual today that works at one of the large car dealerships in Grand Rapids, right?
Yes, sir.
And he was saying that their range of loans go anywhere from 2 to 3% to 25%. And he says,
about this.
He said, man, I would blow you away with the number of people that come in there and sign up on the dotted line at the 25%.
Just to say they rolling.
Just to say they rolling.
And the inflation, ooh, no, inflation because, market.
And then, and now, you know, used cars are at a premium.
Man,
used cars are at a premium. I got another friend of mine I talked to. He has a couple of CRVs that coming off a lease, and they're willing to pay him almost $3,000 more than the value of the vehicle because there's such a market. Because people, see, the new cars aren't available.
No, they're not.
The chips, which is another whole story we can talk about, is so far behind is that they can't push them off the line because they don't have the components, the microchips, to put into the cars to get them out. Because during COVID, everybody shut their facilities down. You know, and the chip makers basically started making chips for gaming, yeah, for computers.
PlayStation came and killed them. Xbox.
Yeah. And so now the automakers are saying, hey, man, we need these chips. And it's like, well, we're making them as fast as we can, but we signed these long-term contracts
with these gaming companies,
with these Apples, IBM, all these gaming companies. So, you know, as it becomes available, we'll ship you chips that we can.
So right now they got cars that's just parked in the parking lot, brand new, that they can't do nothing with.
Because they're not finished.
Because they can't even drive them because everything got those fuses and all that.
Everything is microchip now, man. You know, when you backing up and you get your backup beepers and all that kind of stuff, all your sensors, those are all microchips, man. And instead of the auto industry continuing to buy these chips, right, saying, okay, well, production's going to come back one day. We'll store them. They have a shelf life for years. They missed the opportunity to stockpile chips. And now they're suffering because they cannot get the production. I mean, there's one of the Ford plants in Detroit saying they're going to have to shut down completely.
I heard, yes.
So along with that, but dynamic is also what's creating a little bit of nervousness in the market.
Wow, this is...
You know, washing machines, refrigerators, everything that you bought 2 years ago, 3 years ago, are going to cost you at least 25, 30% more this summer, this fall, and this winter, just because of the sheer cost of natural resources, iron, ore, steel, all that stuff. And now wash machines, I mean, you know, before you just, you know, and they still make them, but most of them now, refrigerators, stoves are all computerized. Refrigerators, those are microchips in those units, man. So they're looking for them too.
So look at this double-edged sword that we have. We have inflation on one end, right? Then we have
supply and demand
on another.
Yep. Then you take the cyber potential attacks in this country.
Man, look, you know how I'm finna sound like? I like Warren Buffett, but I like Ray Dalio because he talk about the principles of success in business.
Uh-huh.
And he always talk about the crash of the economy.
Yeah.
It's a perfect storm for
the
crash.
It's a perfect storm.
But like they always say, every 10 years, something has to come in and reset or bust the bubble.
Yeah. So, I would say, COVID has been ours. Prior to that, it was 2008.
Yep.
Right?
I lived through that one. That was rough for me. I learned a lot of valuable lessons on that one.
So, 2008. Now, we're at 2020. So, you know, wasn't quite 10 years, but it was close. So, yeah, these are once-in-lifetime events that we're dealing with right now.
Yep. So, man, that's our time. I mean, man, this unemployment about to end. I'm gonna end with that, right?
Yes.
And what's going on is people getting an extra $300, and it's not gonna last forever. But it's two kind of people out there. How long I can ride this out, or I'm looking for a job right now before September comes.
Get ahead of the rush, right? Get out there and find you a job now, because like you say, when everybody gets shut off, then all everybody gonna look for a job. Well, I already got mine because I decided I was going to make an early break.
That's right. Use your summer to get your resume ready, to get your references in, and make it your job while you're getting paid unemployment to find another job. I've been in this same space before in the past. When I was getting unemployment years ago, I made it my job to find another job. I was like, well, okay. Or create your own business, whatever you're going to do. Spend 6 to 8 hours a day putting in applications, going spaces, learning how to get your credentials up. If you got to go back to school, whatever. Figure that out before September comes. Because it's like herd immunity. It's about to be herd unemployment.
Unemployment, yeah. You know, I got unemployment once in my life. And I promised myself I would never do it
enough.
Again.
It wasn't enough.
I would never do this again. But I would never be in that position.
They doing it good right now, though.
Oh, yeah. They got it good now.
I didn't see no $20 an hour. It was half my income.
What they call it? Fun employment?
Man.
Fun unemployment.
It's a great area. I mean, I went through the 2008 pandemic, and I ain't seen nothing like this.
Right.
Oh, I was half of what I was making. I was like, I can't pay no bills with this. Now people getting money. Like, and I'm not knocking nobody's situation. I'm glad that the party put the pandemic bill in because he understood what happened in 2008. So I'm glad that the people that got that blessing, you're getting it. But make sure you go pay it forward for yourself.
Take
your land in a better space, because 20 million jobs were lost, Tony.
Yeah.
20 million. So that means if 20 million were lost, I don't know if they're going to make up 20 million. They might create 10 more new jobs that replace 10 million jobs. So it might be a job created that's really two jobs instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring in 10 million, say, well, them other 10 ain't coming back because we done figured out how to make this one job do three of them.
Yep.
That's what they get ready to do. The automation with the lacking of the chips,
mm-hmm.
with the inflation, the cyber stuff, people not have to be in a space to work. They're looking at, Zoom is pretty good too. You can work from home now.
Yep.
You can do that from home. You can do your insurance from home. You can do this from home. You can do your medical billing from home.
You're absolutely right.
So as long as you got the spreadsheet, turn us in, who you talk to, you get your payroll done.
Mm-hmm.
So light bill in the building, they don't got to pay. Electricity in the building, got to pay. You paying at home. You getting your tax write-off.
Yeah.
In your space, for your business.
Don't need to pay rent on these big, huge office buildings. Don't need to pay property taxes and all that stuff. So a lot of companies have definitely retooled their business model.
That's right.
And say, we're going to do things differently from this point forward.
I'm going to say pretty soon, I'm going to say this before we get off. Wall Street probably end up being in Florida.
Okay.
They're like, hey, we might be down here. We don't have to be up. We can be on the computer, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.